Thank you so much, Jared. Thank you, Sharon, for inviting me to share at the meeting. My name is Lynn and I am an alcoholic. What an awesome group. You infuse enthusiasm. In fact, I'm going to recommend it to my sponsees. What a great example of the camaraderie. The hand of friendship that's being offered in Alcoholics Anonymous. And so, yes, I've been sober 43 years now, and I am proof that with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's possible to stay sober for at least 43 years, 11 months, 2 weeks, a few days. It is possible. Before the meeting, someone asked how we could teach you to stop drinking. Unfortunately, we don't do that in Alcoholics Anonymous. The big book says if you want to stop for good, then we can show you how to stay sober. It's how to stay sober for the rest of your life. The big book talks about permanent sobriety in the foreword to the second edition. Dr. Bob, Bill Wilson, and Bill Dodson, the man on the bed, all three achieved permanent sobriety. And so, should you never want to drink again, the odds are extremely high. Rarely have we seen a person fail. So, for all of us today, the chances that we stay sober permanently are extremely high. To those who have thoroughly followed the path, and that's the catch. And the word thoroughly means precise, exact, following to the end. And that, my friends, is still my responsibility today. Yes, my higher power keeps the obsession to drink away from me. My higher power allows me to live a life that's peaceful, that's comfortable. That's very joyful, yes. But although that's something with a capital S is my captain with a capital C, I am rowing that boat every single day, all day. So if you are new, this is what we can share with you. This is, well, we don't use the word teach, but this is the message that we can get carry to you. And Claire, we were together this morning in our own minds because I thought, Lynn, today, why don't you talk about the spiritual experience, the transformation that occurs to us? And this is what was read at the beginning of the meeting. And so this is what we need, is a complete transformation of our emotions, of our attitudes, our perception of life and circumstances, our reaction to life. And with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, we can keep those feelings. We can reduce the fear and the resentment with the steps so we don't get so upset that eventually the obsession to drink returns and then we have to drink again. And this I still need to do every day. There is nothing in our literature that suggests should you have been sober for 20 years or more, you get a weekly reprieve. Or should you have been sober for 30 years or more and have done thousands of those steps, then don't worry about the daily reprieve. You're just free to go. This has not been my experience. And so today I will be talking to one of my sponsees. That happens every single day. And I'm going to be making a meeting. And I have commitments in Alcoholics Anonymous always. And I'm always studying my big book. And I transmit that presentation of the program, hopefully adequately, to my sponsees. And hopefully when I share at meeting, the program also is reflected in my words. And before the meeting, I pray to my higher power to direct my words. And I feel a little bit intimidated because there are so many newcomers. And although I'm not responsible for anybody's sobriety or relapse, I hope that what I say is encouraging you to come back rather than question whether you belong here or whether you will have a fun life here. And believe me, there is plenty of fun. We had it right before the meeting. The fun, the laughter, the humor, the applause, the love, the encouragement. I need that every day still today. There is no way I could stay sober by myself. I just don't want to live my life without you. So if you are new, I want to welcome you to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I beg you, if you do not have a sponsor yet, do not leave that meeting today before because without holding somebody's hand. Sponsorship was mentioned before the meeting. I think there is a list available, even if it's just temporarily. At least you will have a confidant, someone you can trust, someone you can call tomorrow evening if you feel like drinking again. If you're afraid of showing up to work on Monday morning because you have a review coming in and you're not sure if you're going to be fired or not, you can call that sponsor before that meeting. And then if you are fired, you can call that sponsor after the meeting. It's very possible that your relationship with a higher power, it's not that strong yet. So until we get to develop that sixth sense, that result is after taking those steps for a while, by all means, connect with us and we can help you with our experience and give you some guidance so you can save the day and not drink today and then you have a chance again tomorrow. I drank for 14 years and it never got any better. No matter my circumstances, apparently, my alcoholism had its own spiraling down progression from drinking once a year to once a month to every Friday night to every Friday, Saturday to younger and sooner in the day, harder liquor. I've never wanted to stop drinking. I've never wanted to have two drinks. I drank to change the way that I feel sober because being sober was so uncomfortable. I was very shy, low self-esteem, no self-respect, confused, didn't belong. I knew you didn't like me. I didn't know what to say. And then I started second grade and it just got worse and worse. And so by the end of my drinking, I ended up sleeping in a sleeping bag on the room of a floor, floor of a room that I was renting. I had no more friendship. I was totally isolated. I had no money. I was an illegal immigrant. I had no access to any services. I had nobody to call. And what happened that last weekend is alcohol stopped working. No matter how much I drank, I was sober from the neck up. And so Monday morning, June 21st, 1982, I called AA and they said, "You want to stop drinking?" And I said, No. I just want to learn how to have five or six. It's after that that I get in all this trouble." And so he said, "When you're ready to stop drinking, call us back." And I did a couple of hours later. And then they took me to detox. And then I went to a 10-day program. Then I went to a recovery house for alcoholic women for 10 months. See, I didn't know how to live. I had no sense of responsibility, no initiative. I didn't know how to take care of myself. I was completely selfish. I was a thief. I was a cheat. I was a liar. It was always your fault. It was my childhood. It was the church. It was those boyfriends. It was those women. It was always somebody else. And this is where I needed that transformation that the big book talks about. And mine did not happen overnight. And remember, Bill Wilson had the white light experience, but he drank again. So this is not the answer necessarily. So for those of us who take a long time, I had prejudices against religion big time. When I went to detox, I didn't know what alcoholism was. I didn't pray to be sober. I had said, no, I don't want to stop. I did not know what an obsession to drink was. I never prayed for it, never wanted it. And I woke up in detox the next morning and the obsession was gone. And we talk about miracles in this program, maybe a little too loosely, I think. A miracle, it's something that cannot be explained by science. Well, hey, I found a parking spot. Well, that can be explained by science. Eventually, it's your turn. Oh, I got a job. It's a miracle. Well, if you sent out 50 resumes, you went to six interviews, eventually someone will pick you up. That can be explained. But how the obsession to drink that had been in my mind for 14 years, the last year and a half, all day, every day, and it was extricated from my being. To this day, medicine and science cannot explain how that obsession can be removed from us. So when we're talking about a transformation with the help of something with a capital S, a higher power, this is what we're talking about. Dr. Jung in the Big Book, he tried his best program, his best techniques to create this transformation with Lauren Hazard. And he was with Jung for a year. And you know what? He drank again. And Dr. Jung explained, I am successful with this with a lot of people, but not for people like you. So you and me, my friend, and it was read beautifully today, we cannot afford those prejudices against spirituality. We cannot rebel against it. And I'll tell you why. I have found 24 relapse warnings in the Big Book. The resentments is the number one killer. Unless I get through number two and three, I'm not getting to the fourth step, and I'm going to drink over these resentments. Fear of creditors, it's a big warning. If we don't change our sexual conduct, unless we regret, we're going to be drinking again. And so I have to find a way to develop, to open my mind to the idea of something bigger than me. And I had to read hundreds of spiritual books to find a conception of a higher power that I could work with, where I could feel safe. I was raised with a punishing God. And I'll tell you what, if I was a bad girl and I ended up on the other side, it would be very, very hot over there. Very, very hot. And so this is not the place where I want to admit the nature of my wrongs. And when you're taught those things for years every day, it's really difficult to get rid of that in order to end up with a loving power. You think of this group here today, you can even start with this to end up with that monumental transformation. There is love here. If you ask anyone here to help you, they will. We only want for you to be sober and happy. We don't want anything from you. We have no agenda. We have no ulterior motives. We have so much love to offer you. And perhaps you can extend it to, okay, but where is that source, that love? And to me, love with a capital L is that higher power that will make the trees grow, that makes the flower bloom and be so beautiful. And I look at all of you, the sparkles in the eyes and all the beautiful lipstick and the hairstyle and the beard trimmed. And I mean, there is beauty just everywhere in that room. And how we connect, how can we connect? The Big Book says we are people who do not mix. But because of this transformation, all of us with different political values, we're raised differently, different culture. Perhaps we would not agree on anything. That's why we leave it outside of these rooms. And somehow we get together with a common problem, a common solution, and we love each other without any conditions. I was unable to do that. I'm a fallen woman. I'm one of those floozies. You could not trust me. I made all my decision based on what makes me feel good right here, right now. I used to blame my father for my promiscuity because in my house you could not say no to dad. He was very, very strict. We had to think like him or we were wrong. And one time after a meeting, I was talking to this gentleman who happened to be a psychologist. And I said, you know, I think those of us with critical fathers, he taught us to say yes to men. He said, huh, I've never read that anywhere, but you know, it makes sense. Well, I brought that up to my sponsor a couple of years ago. She said, Lynn, you do it because it feels good. So, knock that one out very quickly. Sometimes sponsors can be mean, you know? I called her 3, 4 weeks ago. She said, how are you? I said, I am angry. She said, who's not doing what you want them to do? I said, Lynn, I haven't even told you the story yet. And so we save each other's life by knocking down the rationalization, the justification, so we become finally, transformatively responsible for our feelings, our action. We pause during the day, not to reload, but perhaps to not say something that's going to hurt somebody's feeling, that's going to be dishonest, that's going to start an argument, that's going to be needed to be cleaned up later. I have 3 minutes and I will share with you why it is so important for me to continue to be in the middle of that transformation. I visited my family in Quebec, Canada for 10 days, and it was nothing like what I thought it would be. I spent 3 days at my aunt's house, and usually my uncle, they all come and see me, and nobody showed up. And I'm just there waiting, and I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. My feelings are a little bit hurt. I'm disappointed. I wanted to see them. Then I spent a few days at my brother's house, and his wife's kitty was dying. And it was so sad to watch that little kitty with the apparatus on a cushion on the floor, and her name is Claire, curled up on the floor around the kitty. And it was time for her to be euthanized, and she couldn't do it. And so I spent days. I didn't get to go visit anywhere to do anything. I was at my aunt's house, not being seen, at my brother's house, helping her. And finally, she asked me if I would go to the hospital to euthanize her cat, Zoe, because she couldn't do it.
2 minutes, sweetheart.
She couldn't do it. And of course, I said yes, although I euthanized one of my dogs a month and a half ago. And so I got an email from her who is excruciatingly shy and reserved. Nobody calls her. She doesn't call anybody. My brother is her everything, but he's an Archie bunker and he was not there to support her. And so it was so difficult. Because their relationship is none of my business, but my heart was going with her, and I wanted to diffuse his criticism. And what I want to share with you is once we've practiced enough of those principles, and every morning I ask my higher power to show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love, and I ask to show me throughout the day what my next step is to be, and to give me what I need to take care of such problem, that although in my own mind I was confused, I was doubting, I was anxious, I was disappointed, I was sad. Apparently, everything I said was just so. I showed up the way God wanted me to show up. And I got an email from her. She said, Lynn, I had three prayers that God, she has a permission, God, would not give cancer to her cat, would not make the cat die, and would bring her an angel to help her go through the most difficult period in her life. And Lynn, you were my angel. And so that whole trip was not about me getting what I wanted. It was about me being of service. And it turned out to be glorious because of the gift that this higher power brought to her through me. That's the transformation, my friend. I love you so, so very much. I need you every day to keep saving my life, and I am forever grateful. Thank you.